Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. For when your eyes are upon this child, your grace abounds. Oh, to me. If you're watching the streaming, you probably can't hear the storm that has just set down on this place. And in awe of the magnificence of the worship that we have just experienced and the demonstration of his power and his might that would appear to be him saying, I am here and I'm mighty. I just have to be still for a minute. Whew. Listen to the sound of the rain and the thunder. The sound of his voice. Sometimes it's a whisper, and sometimes it's a thunder. And he's always speaking. His voice is sometimes really soft, and you have to turn up and tune yourself to his ear to hear. But sometimes, man, it is clear as thunder, and there is no doubt that he is speaking. You're safe inside his love and his care. You're protected inside his house. You don't have to be afraid when the storms come. You do not have to be afraid of the thunder or the lightning or the clouds. When you are in Christ, you're safe. When you are in Christ, you are covered. He's a strong protector. He's your covering, and he loves you very much. So, Father, we pray right now that you'll protect this house, protect the building, because you are our protector. You will keep people on the road safe. And that, God, as we focus in on your word, will be faithful to deliver it. I want to hear you like the thunder. Now say what you say. Now do what you say to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Ronnie asked me a few weeks ago to bring the opening message to his new series called Fresh. That's all he told me, was fresh. Well, fresh can go a million different ways. I like fresh things. So I started to seek the Lord about that and began to ask him what that would mean. What does fresh mean? What is the message that he wants me to give. And so I was looking at the pulpit schedule and asking him, and he said, fresh perspective. And I said, okay. And I got up and walked down a few steps to Denise Ham's office, and I said, Denise, add to the pulpit schedule my title, which is Fresh Perspective. And I walked back to my seat and went, all right. And I had no idea what that meant. I was super confident because I really felt like I had heard his voice. So over the next few weeks, I began to ask the Lord to show me what it means to have a fresh perspective. A few days later, I would be forced to look at my life and my circumstances in a fresh new way. And I had to drill down, because of my circumstances, past my emotions and past the natural and the things that were concerning to me, to listen to the voice of God and find his fresh perspective. Because being a child of God does not mean that everything in life is going to be easy. Doesn't mean that everything's going to be right. It's not going to always be fair. Sometimes we get a diagnosis we didn't ask for. Sometimes we do the right thing and life just kind of gives you the kick. And in those moments, it's when we have to drill down into ourselves, into our faith, to discover that fresh perspective. See, there are a lot of perspectives you can have on situations in your life. For me, I usually come to that perspective, but the fresh perspective is not always the first thing. I have to process what's going on in my life. So, let's look at these two words, fresh and perspective. Fresh is good. Fresh is awesome. And in the summer, fresh is the best. Diane Retzik has been sharing her lettuce harvest with me this summer. And I tell you, it's awesome. She brought me the first bag of lettuce, and I thought, I am never going to eat that lettuce. There's no way I'm ever going to get all of this eaten because it'll turn to slime. Because, you know, you buy lettuce in the grocery store, and sometimes the next day you're like, it wasn't like this yesterday. It looked really good yesterday. So Diane gives me this big thing of lettuce, and I put it in the refrigerator, and I wash some of it, and I get it all ready. I'm thinking it'll be slimy. That stuff lasts for days and days and days and days. Why? Because it is really fresh. Like, she picked it out of the yard and brought it to me. So I had, like, fresh lettuce, like I probably had never had, but maybe a couple of times in my life, but I'd never had it on hand to be able to enjoy it over a extended period of time. So fresh is good. Canned is good. You know, frozen is good. But there's nothing like fresh. Now, perspective, that's a little bit different. Perspective is the way that things appear. Things will appear, it's how they relate to each other based on our particular point of view. Perspective is the ability to consider things accurately and fairly. If you say something is in its proper perspective, it means that the entire situation has been considered and all of the angles have been checked. So it's fair and it's accurate in your understanding of the situation. In art, there's a style called perspective drawing. I think we have a picture if the screens are working. They're not. Oh, Doug will be sad because he got all these things together for me. But a perspective drawing is where the artist focuses on, turn around and look, it's back there. Where the artist focuses on the angles. It's everything is in its proper perspective in the drawing, and you see a big man and a small man. You see a big archway, and as it gets further away, smaller. Look at the tiles on the bottom. They're bigger, and then they become smaller. However, your eye can really, really be deceived. You're going to have to look back for this one, and I won't do all of them. If you do research for perspective photography, all kinds of things show up. Like, that is a guy who is standing, and it looks like he's holding the sun. Well, he's not holding the sun. And it looks like he's higher than the landscape, but he's not higher than the landscape. It's not possible because it's not a proper perspective. What you see on first glance isn't always as it appears to be. And when you don't have a fresh perspective, you can easily be deceived. You can believe a lie. You can fall into rejection. You can overreact. You can take up an offense, or you can really feel sorry about yourself. So I want to look at our personal perspective today. Our personal perspective is the way that we see something. My personal perspective is the way that I see something. Your personal perspective is the way that you view it. It's your point of view. It's where you're standing, where you're seated. It's how close you are to it. That messes us up in relationships all the time. You're dating some guy, young ladies, and your friends go, you don't need to do that. And you're like, oh, but he's so sweet. But oh, he has not so sweet. But you didn't know that. They have a different perspective. Okay? I remember the summer that Sylvie fell in love with reading. Her school required reading books. Sylvie's like, I fell in love? Woo! This is about books. She fell in love with reading, and her school required a certain number of books for the summer. But that summer, she spent hours and hours and hours, and she was like, my eyes are really bothering me, and I'm having trouble. We went to the eye doctor. Well, all of that reading, and if there are children in the room, this is not an excuse not to read, but all of that reading had actually made her vision worse. And the doctor explained that she was so focused up here on the books and spent so much time right here that her eye muscles got out of balance. And she had to read 20 minutes and then focus away at another place in the room to help pull that back in balance. So we can also be too low to see the big picture. He says, keeping those eyes to the ground. Much of the life is spent shuffling through the minutia of our moments, isn't it? We get hit by life and we drop our heads to find our footing, and you know, we're suddenly in fear, and we don't look up, and we don't look up enough to see that I have this little pebble right here that I'm so focused on at my feet that, but look at the beautiful surroundings around me. I have this little pebble that I'm all focused on, but look at all of this up here. Man, it's beautiful and it's big and it's good. It's good. All the rest of this is good. But I'm like stuck down here focused on the pebble. We can be too low in our sight to see the big picture. Sometimes we need to slow down or stop. Zoom back on that GPS and see the entire route. Don't you hate it when you can only see like that little part and you know, Terry will go, are we going right or left next? And I'm like, you know, I don't know how far it is. And you're like trying to get the screen to make it go wider. Sometimes you'll see there's a more direct way if you slow down. Sometimes you'll see that the route has stopped and there are traffic jams and road construction or stalled vehicles blocking the road. But sometimes when you just can't see ahead, you gotta just relax and trust everything gonna be all right. You know, ain't nothing but a thing. It's gonna be okay. We say that. Terry says that all the time. You know, everything's gonna be all right. When we were headed into Atlanta a few weeks ago, we found ourselves sitting in traffic because that's what you do when you head into Atlanta, right? There was no traffic jam. There was no stalled car. Well, there was a traffic jam. There were no stalled cars. There were no wrecks. There was nothing. We were just stalled. But a few years ago, I was traveling, and we were delayed for quite a while. And once we reached the tie-up, we realized that this was catastrophic. It wasn't about us at all, and it didn't matter how late we were, because a truck driver had just burned to death in his cab. There was like only metal left. All the rest of it was gone. And we'd been sitting back there and, you know, gripey and grumbly. But someone had just died. And multiple other people were profoundly affected by either being in the wreck and or what they saw. You know, I can get so focused on what's right in front of me, my stretch of pavement, my four wheels on the ground, that I can't see what's ahead, and I have no idea how life is for someone else. I'm just so self-focused at times. You know, I look at what's right here for me and how it affects me. And the truth is, what you're experiencing and what I'm experiencing is sometimes just the last ripple. Somebody threw a rock in, and I got the last ripple. And man, we gripe and we complain, and we have the worst attitude, the worst perspective, when what we have is just the last little touch of something bigger and greater, more massive and destructive that someone else has lived through. This is not about us at all. When life is difficult and the bad happens, you have a choice. You can do one of two things. You can stick with the bad and love it and put an outfit on it and feed it and make it your pet and put it in the driver's seat and let the bad just drive you around and take you where it wants to go. Or you can make a choice to choose a different perspective, let go of that thing, kick it out of the car, and tell it not to ever come back. Perspective is definitely a choice. What happens to us, it's real. It's painful, it hurts, it's terrible, it's unjust, it's all of those things. When life throws you that curveball and it's just bad, but I can hold on to the bad and make it my buddy, or I can let go of it, kick it out of my life, and tell it to go away. Never touch me again. And I can then learn what I need to learn, see what I need to see, and determine how forward I can move in a better way, in a better place, because of what I've just experienced. Doesn't mean that bad things are good. It doesn't mean that you have to love what happened to you. But the best thing you can do with something bad that happens to you is get a fresh perspective on it. You've got to get a fresh perspective. For your sake, you need a fresh perspective. It will not change the past. It won't make it like it never happened. You don't have to pretend that that thing never happened to you. But what you can do is you can take that and the knowledge that you've gained from it, you can take the wisdom that you've gained from it, you can take the strength and even the pain that you gained from that and funnel that into a brighter and a stronger future. You can let it control you or you can let it go. Andy Andrews says in his book called The Little Things that perspective is the only thing that can dramatically change the results without changing any of the facts. The facts may never change. You may have lost your job. You may have been abused. You may have been abandoned. You may have been mocked or made fun of. But what can change is what you do with what happened to you. We need a Christ perspective. Colossians 3 and 1 and 2, it says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorb with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. So we need a Christ perspective in our lives. He says, if you're serious about life in Christ, this is a view of perspective of the love of Christ that propels you to a fresh way of living and thinking. This perspective comes when we have full view of what Christ did for us. And we look and we lock in on that revelation and that understanding that the Christian life in Christ is complete and it deserves our complete devotion. Our complete devotion. This renewal and regeneration, it's a new way of living, and it resembles what we see Christ doing in His earthly life. So what did Christ do in His earthly life? Well, He loved others. He served. He gave. He healed. He did supernatural exploits. He stayed on point in His message and His purpose. You know, Christ never, He never veered from His purpose. He rested, He taught, and He gave His life. A fresh perspective through Christ changes what we pursue in this life. It changes what we pursue in this life. So often we pursue the things that are not adding value to our lives at all. Our perspective is to be like everyone else. Our perspective is to fit in, climb the ladder, make more money, do all of these things, which are all good and fine in view of Christ and what He did for us. Everything that your hand finds, do it all to the glory of God. A fresh perspective, a Christ perspective, it pursues things above. So what is Jesus doing above right now? He's in heaven, and He's praying for you. He's praying for me. Thank goodness He got us through the storm. He's in the presence of the Father, and you should pursue time in the presence of the Father. That's what our worship was. Did you realize that? I hope you realized that. That was time in the presence of the Father with your church family. But you need time in the presence of the Father by yourself as well. So your life, if it's fully devoted to Christ, should be behaviorally active and demonstrate His love through loving and serving and giving and healing and flowing in the supernatural and staying on point and resting and teaching others and helping them be better and yeah, even giving your life, giving your everything. But you also need to be in prayer continually and worshiping in His presence. Christ's perspective comes from higher ground. Higher ground gives us a clear view of everything that's going on. That's why He says we're to soar with wings like eagles. Because, man, if we can get up there, woo, they see the fish in the water. They see the other animals that they're going to get their next meal on. They have a clear view of everything, and they are safe from predators. When they're up in that point of view, they are higher than anything else. They are not going to be eaten. They're not going to be attacked by a lion because they're soaring on wings like eagles. It says in the Bible that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. We took our kids when they were little to the battlefield down in Chickamauga. And when you climb up that tower and you get up on top, you can look all the way around. The view, you can see from every angle. You can see where any enemy would be approaching from. It's a high point and it is a clear view. That's what happens when we're in Christ and we get into Him and we allow Him to take us up to the high places. We can see enemies that come against us. We can see from any side what direction the enemy is coming from. And we have the ability to dispatch the warring angels dispatch the heavenly host to fight on our defense and protect us and to keep us safe when we're high in that place with him. It also amplifies sound. Higher ground amplifies sound. When you get to a high place, you're away from the chaos and the distractions of all the things below. Last year we went to Montana, and one of the stops we made was to my cousin Brent's house, and he lives near Snowmass. From his porch, you have a full view of this beautiful ski mountain. But at night, we went to dinner one evening, and when we came back and we got out of the car, you got out and it was, the silence was deafening. It was so loud. I could hear everything. I could see everything too. Man, there were stars up there that I didn't know even existed. It's amazing. When you get up high in that place, you see clearly and you hear more clearly. The voice of the Father becomes clearer, and positions that in that position, you can share the love of Christ more confidently and effectively. Isaiah 40 says in verse 9 and 10, "Go up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Pray, raise your voice loudly, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm establishes his rule." If you've been to higher ground, you will be a more effective witness, and your voice will be clear, your voice will be strong. When Jesus, you know, wants to get a message across to a crowd, he doesn't turn and speak into the forest. He gets up to a high place, to a mountain, the Mount of Olives. He goes to a high place, and he gets up there, and he speaks clearly. The Sermon on the Mount happened on a mount. It happened in a high place, and it's a natural amplification. So when you're high up with God and you spend time up in that place, you see clearly, you hear clearly, and your voice will be amplified. You will hear his voice, see what he is wanting you to do, and then you will be confident and strong in sharing your witness. The Christ perspective embraces death. In verse 3 and 4, it says, "Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life." When Christ, your real life, remember, he shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. Misty and Mimi went on a mission trip to a country in Africa recently, and Misty and I had lunch last week. Was that last week? That was last week. And she shared with me the coolest story, and I asked her for permission to share it with you tonight because it illustrates this perfectly. She told me that one of the things they experienced where they were was baptism. And this mission ministers to children and anyone who will come that is primarily Muslim. And she said that when a Muslim person who is born into that culture, born into that faith, into that family, receives Christ, they're asked when they're in the baptistry, "Are you willing to die to your old life?" Now, you and I, we go, "Yes, I'm willing to die to my old life." But it means a completely different thing to them, because dying to your old life means that you're probably not going to get to go home. And if you go home, you're probably going to be on the street. You're disowned, you have nothing, and you literally might die because they might kill you. And many of the children end up in the ministry because they have nowhere else to go. Misty said that when they 100% they experienced this, they saw it. When they say yes, they say it unreservedly. They say it with their whole hearts. And they say yes, knowing well the consequence. And so then they baptize them. And when they bring them up, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that how you saw it? Yeah. And they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. They're all like slain in the Spirit. And then a helper carries them to the edge of the water safely. What a beautiful picture of what it means to be a follower of Christ. You know, in the New Testament, there was never casual Christianity. It was never casual. It wasn't, you know, with Jesus and the disciples and those early converts, they knew when they said yes to the way of Christ, that they were saying goodbye to everything that they had been. Because the way of Christ was completely opposite of the way that they had been brought up and what society was, what the culture was. So when they said yes, it cost them their head, cost them their families. It cost them tremendous suffering. Some were crucified upside down. Some were literally torn apart limb by limb. They were sawn in two. They were boiled in oil. So when they said yes to Christ, they were saying yes to him and goodbye to the old life. They were letting go of everything, knowing it could cost them everything. There was no casual Christianity for them, and there should be no casual Christianity for us. Casual Christianity, I'm not sure if it's a real thing. I mean, I'm not. I'm not sure if it's really real. I'm not sure if I am a Christ follower and my life does not match up with him, I'm not sure it's real. I may be religious. I may know about the Bible and I may know about God. But Christianity and faith in Jesus is transformative. It's a new perspective on the way to live our lives. It's a new perspective on who we are to be. It makes us literally, the Bible tells us, a new creation. If we're in Christ, we are a new creation, and all things pass away, and behold, we're new. So if Christ is in me, and I'm still dominated by the old life, I have to wonder, am I really in Christ? So it embraces death. Verse 5 through 8 says, the Christ perspective means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. But you know better now, so make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, not just the bad sins. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. Kind of meddles there, doesn't he? Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. And now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Think about doing the dirtiest work job, going out to an oil field and being covered in filth from head to toe. Pulling that off. And when I come to Christ, he gives me a designer outfit. I mean, it is cut for me. It is sewn for me. The color is perfect for me. It is exactly what I need. It covers me beautifully, and I am equipped in every way. That's what he will do for us. The fresh perspective on faith is a love perspective. He says, be dressed in love. I mean, shop at Goodwill or the Bethel store or borrow a dress from a friend for a special event. But when Christ saved me, there was no more of that spiritually. Spiritually, no more hand-me-downs in my life. He's made me new. He says, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. Even-tempered, content with second place, and quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you, and regardless of what else you put on, wear love. That's the all-fitting garment. Your basic, all-purpose garment, never be without it. And fourth, the word perspective. We need to give it plenty of room in our lives. He says, let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in our lives. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is Joseph. And when Joseph, we see Joseph in Genesis 37, he's probably about 17 years old. He's shepherding with his half-brothers. He is the favorite of his father, Jacob, and the brothers, they just don't like it. In Hebrew, his name means may Jehovah add or give increase. And, you know, talk about names. They either gave you the name, you will be filled with boils and sickly, or, you know, or may God give increase, you know. I mean, they just gave some of the worst names ever in the Bible. I'm like, what in the world were they doing? That was a really bad day for that mom. She needed an epidural. I mean, it's like, what in the world? So, anyway, he has a great name. And in Genesis 37, Joseph has a dream. And this is the first big thing that God does in his life. Now, you would think that he has a dream, and when he receives a dream and he shares a dream, that immediately good things are coming into his life. But that was absolutely the opposite thing that happened. His brothers are put out with him. They decide they're going to kill him. The oldest brother says, no, don't do that. So they throw him in a hole in the ground. He goes away, and while he's gone, he's gonna come back and get him because he's the older brother, and he knows we're in trouble if we do that. So while he's gone, all the rest of the brothers, they go out and they're waiting and watching the field. And then these guys come by, and these Egyptian traders. And so they sell him. So he comes back. What in the world? You sold our brother? Yeah, they have to devise a plan. They start telling lies. They devise it. They kill an animal. They soak it in his favorite coat that dad gave him that they all couldn't stand to look at. They soaked it in blood. And go back, tell a lie to dad. Oh, he was killed by an animal. Dad is devastated. Dad is broken. And the meanwhile, the 17-year-old is on a slave train, and he is being sold into slavery. Now, the story gets a little bit better there. He's sold to an Egyptian, a high-ranking Egyptian named Potiphar. Now, Potiphar saw value in Joseph, so things lighten up a little bit. He's got a good job. He's still a slave, but he's running the house. And but Potiphar wasn't the only one that showed him favor. His wife really liked him. And, well, you can see it. Trouble's coming again. You know, he just gets a break. You ever feel like that? Oh, I just got a break. And then here comes the wife trying to seduce him. And he's like, I've got this dream from God, and I'm going to follow God, and I'm going to serve God. And this is my master, and I can't dishonor my master. So he dishonors the wife, and the wife gets really angry that she is dishonored. So she's not going to be dishonored. So she tells a lie. She screams. He's thrown in jail, and there he is rotting in jail. Well, in jail, he's letting his gifts flow. He's operating in integrity. He has favor with the jailer, and he gets an opportunity to interpret the dream of a couple of guys that really, really needed to hear the truth. One of them had a good result. One had a bad result, exactly as he said it was going to be. And then when Pharaoh is that right, Pharaoh? Did I say that right? Yeah, when Pharaoh... when he had a dream, that good work and faithfulness that he was doing in the jail got him out of the jail. He interpreted the dream, and not only did he get the favor of Pharaoh and get to rule half of the land, he was also able at that point to save the nation and devise a land management plan and a storage plan that would save the nation from being destroyed, and it would save his family from dying of starvation, and it would fulfill the original dream that God gave him, that his family would even end up bowing down before him. A long story. But sometimes our lives feel like that. Sometimes we think, do I ever get a break? Why in the world can I not get a break? What matters is what happens here, not what happens here. What matters is your perspective on your situation. Are you going to stop and just look down and focus on the pebble? Or are you going to stop and look up and go, well, I'm a slave, but I am a slave in Potiphar's house. And I got a really nice place to stay, and I'm eating good food. I'm helping this man. He's kind to me. Or are you going to steal from your master, have a bad attitude, have an affair with his wife? Because, well, life has just given me a raw deal. Doesn't matter. Oh, it does matter. It absolutely matters. And a holy life comes from a fresh perspective. So tonight, this is long, and I apologize for all of our interruptions. You need to look at your life. Is it out of focus? Is your perspective unbiblical? Is your perspective incomplete? Do you need to get up and move around the situation a little bit and look at all the angles? I encourage you tonight, whatever God is showing you in your life that is your bad thing, it's your bad. I would encourage you tonight to let go of it. You've got to let it go. You cannot keep holding on. You've got to say, this is what it is. My circumstances are what they are. But I thank God that everything else around me is beautiful. I thank God for the mountains and the trees and even that rain. I thank God that we're in this beautiful place. I thank God that there is good in my life, and I refuse to focus on the pebble. I will not allow it to drive my car. I will not allow it to control me. I will not make a pet out of it. I will not make it my friend. Bad is not my friend. Christ is my everything. So, let's just be real honest. We're just having a conversation here. I don't think streaming is even working probably after all of that. Let's just be honest. How many of us, something in your life that's out of perspective, that you have a bad perspective, a wrong perspective, there's something in your life. Yeah. Okay. Then let's pray this prayer together, and everybody, let's all pray it out loud, okay? Say, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me for having a wrong perspective. My life is good, and I am blessed. I let go of the bad, and I ask you by faith to lift my eyes, to lift me to a higher place, and to help me see what you see. Give me a big, wide view. I want to see it all. And I want to have perspective on my situation. I let go of the bad. I kick it out of my car. Kick it out of my life. I am done with it. And right now, by faith, I put on my perfect fitting garment that you created for me. And help me to live each day learning from the past, but not controlled by it. I receive by faith a fresh perspective. Thank you for all you've done for me. I give myself to you completely, and I trust you with my life. And if it means I give myself, well, I surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen.